Hey, it's Ben Greenfield. I shared a hotel room a couple of years ago with my guest on today's podcast, and he wildly entertained me in a good way. So he's on the show now. He's on the show, and he's going to wildly entertain you with a shocking episode. I'll leave it there. You'll understand later.
Last night, I got my shipment in. That's right. Paleo Valley sent me their fermented meat sticks, which are amazing. They're these beef sticks. I gave a few to some of my friends already, which they love. I actually interviewed Stephen Gundry on my podcast, and he talked about how when you look at a lot of these blue zones, the ones that are the highest ranking in terms of longevity eat meat, but the meat that they eat is actually fermented. And that's exactly what they've done with Paleo Valley. They've actually taken really good grass-fed, grass-finished beef. They've fermented, which naturally introduces gut-friendly probiotics, but more importantly, breaks down a lot of the sugars that would normally cause meat to be harmful, concentrates the vitamins, makes it more digestible, and they have fantastic flavors. They got the original. They've got one that's like a summer sausage. They have a garlic sausage. They have a teriyaki. It's probably my favorite. And you can now get your hands on fermented beef sticks that basically blow that Slim Jim beef jerky out of the water. So check out paleovalley.com/Ben. That's paleovalley.com/Ben to try out these beef sticks and get 15% off your order. Not just beef sticks, fermented beef sticks. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use a special form of a workout called a re-hit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office. My cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. carolbike.com. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses, and keeping your mitochondria strong, it's one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full-spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just 2 bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order.
In this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show.
Yeah, legit, he was pissed. And I thought that was vindicating. I was like, if you ask for money and then turn someone down and the first thing they do is they curse at you, like that's clearly a vindication of the reason why you turn them down. And in fact, it was a type of science that was pretty common in the 1980s and early 1990s in America, clinically tested, called aversion therapy, where they would use either nausea or electric shock while doing a bad habit to create a long-lasting Pavlovian aversion.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power. Speed. Mobility. Balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now, on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Hey folks, my guest on today's podcast is Manish Sethi, and I actually had the pleasure of getting to know Manish when somehow we got stuck staying in a hotel room together at a health conference. It was actually Manish, I don't know if you recall, but it was a pretty nice, it wasn't a hotel room, it was more like a whole like little villa that we had in a mountain in Arizona.
It's a villa in a mountain, and staying in a room with you for two nights was pretty freaking eye-opening, because you are insane, my friend.
Well, so are you. I mean, to put this in perspective for people listening in, Manish and I are going to talk about, because he's basically like an inventor and an entrepreneur, and he's made this really interesting device that you may or may not have heard of. I'll tell you about it in a second. But I think this was after you'd been featured on Shark Tank, Manish. And you had like, I know you're into like Pavlovian responses. And I think in this case, you had like your computer set up to ding every time you sold one of these units. And your Shark Tank episode went live. And so every time I'd walk into the room where your computer was, all I would hear was just like ding, 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 ding. So
I think it was actually triggering on my Pavlok at that time.
Yeah, it may have been on the thing on your wrist. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you invented this Pavlok, and I definitely want to hear the story behind that. But for those of you who don't know who Manish is, he actually studied psychology under a relatively legendary psychology professor named BJ Fogg. I believe you became pretty intrigued with behavior change at that time when you were at Stanford, right, Manish?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Launch the website hackthesystem.com, and I'll link to all this in the show notes. If you just go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Manish, that's bengreenfieldfitness.com/Manish. And for those of you who don't know how to spell Manish, it's Maneesh. You should know that. Shame on you if you don't know how to spell Manish. Anyways, so bengreenfieldfitness.com/Manish. I'll link to a lot of the stuff that we talk about. But Manish wound up, after he left Stanford, inventing something very interesting that I'll let him tell you about. And it's kind of had multiple iterations since then. I've gotten my hands on a few of his crazy little inventions. And the story behind how it actually launched is pretty interesting, too. I'd love to hear the about the person you hired to slap you in the face and all that kind of stuff, Manish. So let's dive in. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure. I always enjoy talking with you, because you're one of the few people who actually uses the tech that people like me make.
Yeah.
So I was always fascinated by human behavior. I grew up pretty ADHD. It's very in the 98th percentile of lack of focus. And I always had trouble committing and finishing stuff. But I noticed very rapidly that when there was a set deadline, or if I was working with somebody else in the room, that I would finish tasks always just on time. And this was pretty consistent my entire life growing up, that deadlines and a fear of consequences would make me finish stuff. As I got into, I studied at Stanford under BJ Fogg. I did a class with BJ Fogg and on Facebook apps. I've been a programmer. I wrote a book on game programming when I was like 14, became a bestseller. It was called Game Programming for Teens. And it was translated into a bunch of languages and actually became a textbook in Poland for every kid who went through Warsaw's middle and high schools. They used my textbook, which was pretty weird. And I was really intrigued by human behavior, and I had experience in tech. And my brother, Ramit Sethi, was a blogger. He runs the website IWillTeachYouToBeRich.com.
IWillTeachYouToBeRich.com. I've heard of that website.
Yeah, he's pretty successful.
IWillTeachYouToBeRich.com. I think I visited that before. What exactly is that website all about? Not to make you talk about your brother on a podcast, but...
No, it's okay. It's most of the conversations I have are about my brother anyway. I'm just kidding. but he was very inspirational in my life and definitely set me down this path. His website and his blog and his book, his New York Times bestselling book, are about helping people get control of their finances, take care of their spending, and then earn more money by finding their dream job or becoming a freelancer.
Gotcha.
And so he was very inspirational because of his research as well with human psychology. And so I actually left Stanford. I took a leave of absence to travel the world. I left for about 4 years in total. I traveled and started a blog called Hack the System. And this blog was about doing experiments on myself. So I had my readers would vote on where I would go and on what sort of experiments I would do, what projects I would do in each city. I lived in like 20 or 30 different countries over a span of 4 years in South America and Asia and Europe. And I did a bunch of experiments that, I could talk about that for hours, but a lot towards the end of my blog.
Yeah, fill me in. Tell us about a couple of the more crazy experiences, dude. You can't skim over that. I want to hear.
All right, cool. I started traveling in Italy, and then I moved to South America, Buenos Aires, Brazil, into India, and then Berlin. I lived in like a lot of places, but the experiments that were really fun included my favorite one by far was Berlin. It was a experiment called 90 Days to Becoming a Famous Berlin DJ. So me and a friend had no experience DJing music, but we were both in Berlin and decided to try to hack the Berlin DJ scene. So what we did was we first created a shopping cart music sound system and started playing parties in the subway, in the metro stations. And we would get like groups of 100 people dancing on a shopping cart. So we ended up making deals with bars and clubs around the entire city where we would just wheel in people. They just follow us and we would just wheel them in and ended up getting and booking our first few DJ gigs like this. Then after we had our first few gigs, we started buying Facebook fans and calling up clubs, pretending to be, "Hi, I'm Will from Regal Entertainment. I represent DJ Manish. He's really famous for house and dubstep." And so it took about 45 days before we were being flown around Europe, being paid to play shows for 1,000 people.
Amazing.
So that was really fun. The second experiment, which was really cool, was I started an NGO in India. So I lived in a village in India for about 9 months. And I raised money online to help wire up a village with electricity. I raised money to wire up the village with electricity, buy computers for kids, and then teach kids how to use computers. So that was really, really inspirational, really moving for me. I also got to buy a camel and own and travel by my own little camel named Jiminy. So that was a really cool experience when I was 22.
Did you say a camel?
Yeah, I bought a camel. He was cool. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes you get a camel.
That's interesting. Did you know that camel milk is very, very good for you? Did you ever drink its milk?
I did not drink its milk. It was male. But I actually have only heard that from, I think I saw a mention that you put on Facebook about camel milk. What's a good point?
Yeah. I was drinking it for a while. There's a company called Camel's Milk, fittingly enough, that was sending me camel milk from California. It's actually really good. My kids liked it, too. It's we have goats, and we do a lot of goat milk because it's very... it's what's called thermodynamically favorable, meaning that the protein in like a goat milk or camel's milk is better absorbed and results in fewer immune issues by the human body. So you should be kicking yourself now for not A, owning a female camel and B, milking it.
Definitely. I think that that will probably be the thing I sleep to sadly tonight, that little regret that pops up at night. And then do you know if camel milk has lactose in it?
It does, but it has also present in it a lot of the probiotics that pre-digest the lactose. So it's almost like it does the work for you.
This is just a sidebar, but I found out when I was 25, I think, maybe 26, that I was lactose intolerant. And I had never known that in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And when I discovered that I was lactose intolerant, I did not realize how much it affects your entire life. It's like a sugar high. You always need more of it. And you never have ever got, if you've never gone a day without lactose, you think that that's your normal state, that you are a binge eater, that like you always are going to, you know, fart a lot. And also that you are like the mental fog was very, very consistently high. And that was really intriguing to me because they say that over 95% of Indians are lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
And every in India drinks milk tea, drinks chai every day. It's like milk is part of our culture. So I've always really been interested in the macro effects of mass lactose on an entire billion person population who has lactose intolerance. I have no idea what the result
is. That's why everyone is walking around India with dementia. Which I don't know is true. I may have just made up that statistic. But you know what's fascinating is I had the same deal going on, Manish. I used to drink a whole gallon of 2% milk every day growing up. And I would go to bed with stomach aches. And my parents used to think I was just a kid who got stomach flu a lot. And they'd give me like antibiotics and they'd give me medications. And they never actually really even hypothesized about the fact that I might have actually been intolerant to the milk. When I got to college and started studying nutrition and learned about lactose, that's when the light bulb kind of turned on for me. But yeah, same thing for me. I went forever drinking milk, thinking it was perfectly normal to just basically fart and have stomach aches every night.
Same thing. It's crazy how that happens.
Yeah.
And so then to get back on Hack the System, the third experiment that I ran is actually the one that led to Pavlok. And this third experiment, basically, I always knew that I was really bad at finishing stuff. And, you know, I'm going to add one more experiment that I thought was really cool before I tell you this one. And that was I read Seneca and he was talking about how living in the, like, you should spend at least a week or two each year living your biggest fear. Because once you do that, you'll understand that fear is nothing to be afraid of. And so I read that actually while I was doing the DJing in Berlin. And I decided that right after I would try to live in the wilderness and learn how to survive outside. And so I did a 28-day, it was a course with Boulder Outdoor Survival School.
Oh, cool. That's funny. I've actually done stuff with Boulder Outdoor Survival School before.
They're amazing.
I went down there and did, I'm part of an entrepreneurial mastermind with a bunch of other guys. And we went down there for a week and they kind of put us through the ringer for a week. I remember wandering around the forest with GPS satellite devices to find treasures. It's actually a cool experience.
Yeah. My experiment was the hunter-gatherer experiment. So it was 28 days, no backpack, no sleeping bag, no tent. You hike, you know, between 12 and 15 miles a day. You have no technology and you just kind of have to survive. And that was extremely eye-opening to me because, number one, I had never spent even like 24 hours without tech. And I wrote more during that period than any other time except for the experiment I'm about to tell you about with the Craigslist slapper. That the lack of distractions was actually the secret that really let me unlock my potential. But that was really cool. Being like, when you realize that you can live in the wilderness and survive, then nothing else scares you anymore.
Oh, yeah. Well, one thing that I've found, I discovered this when I hunt, you know, for 6 or 7 days, is you get super lean, dude. Did you lose weight doing this survival course?
I lost like 23 pounds in 28 days. I think I read an article about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the best diet ever. Find your own food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things I noticed is like you can't eat cookies if you live in the middle of the wilderness, right?
Yeah.
You can't smoke cigarettes if there are no cigarettes on your continent.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best solutions to stopping habits is to remove triggers. So all of this, like all these experiments I'm mentioning are all part of my mental model for the world. And I'm sure every single individual here listening to this has developed a mental model based on their experiences. But I think this last experiment was one of the most effective parts of changing my mental models. And that was the Craigslist slapper experiment. So I had this blog and I always had trouble writing. Like I had nothing to do except write. And I never wrote more than two articles a week. And I saw you, Ben, and the speed at which you write is just freaking mind-boggling. It's you. I think your personality is fundamentally like a different sort of finisher type than I am. But you're freaking out of this world, man.
Writing's like a muscle, in my opinion. I mean, like, I've been doing it since I was a little kid, and it just flows out of me. You know, it's like people have been playing the violin for 20 years, and you just pick it up and just make it sing. You know, it's kind of like that.
I think I'm more perfectionistic, where it's like, unless the deadline is finalized, I will never finish it because I think it can always be made better. And so what happened in this experiment was I hired someone to just follow me around and make me write. You know, like when you go to the gym and you have a personal trainer, the value is actually in going to the gym. The trainer herself or himself is not always the most important part. It's the fact that there is someone there waiting for you that makes the personal trainer so valuable. So I did an experiment where I tried to improve my productivity, and I hired a girl to follow me around. Her name was Kara. And every time I wasted time or went on Facebook, she was allowed to slap me in the face. And she started off by whenever I went on Facebook specifically, she would slap me instantly. And if I ever started to waste time, she was just looking over my shoulder and would remind me. And so what I noticed is, number one, this became like a social experience. It was like, hey, does this sound good? I would say as I was writing, or do you mind looking up photos while I type this up? And number two, I started looking at the results. I wrote about 4 or 5 months of content in like 5 days.
Wow.
Just having somebody next to me just made me, because I was just in writing mode and I couldn't get out of it. You know what I mean? And I was blown away, but then I posted the article online. I posted it on my blog and put it on like I just posted it on my blog and sent it out to my email list. And the next day, I remember I was getting off of a plane flight.
Now, before you say what happened the next day, like, how hard was she slapping you?
There's a video of it online. I mean, as hard as she wanted, really. I think slaps, like, you can find a video of me and Tim Ferriss doing a slap battle. The slap is like the best of kinds of punishment because it makes a loud noise, but it doesn't actually hurt. And so I love slaps because it's like a showmanship thing more than it is actual pain. It's like the Pavlov shock. It startles you, but it doesn't hurt you.
Right.
I found that it's also hard to get people to slap you. So it was like, you have to pay them to do it. So anyway, what happened was I wrote so many articles that I posted this article online and the next day NPR gave me a phone call and they're like, hi, are you Manish, the guy who hired the slapper? It turned out that the word slapper means prostitute in British English.
That's true. I think I've actually come across that phrase before in like old Sherlock Holmes books, that a slapper is a prostitute.
Yeah. So the title accidentally got really popular in England. And by the time it was morning in America, I was like super famous that day. I was getting phone calls from everybody around the entire country. And for like 3 days, I was like, wow, this is awesome. This is like really, really fun. And of course, then the news died down. And I was thinking about it. And I was like thinking about how I could make another story go viral. And what I decided to do with a friend, I was like, yo, what if we made like a dog collar that could shock me every time I went on Facebook? And my friend said, let's go to Radio Shack. And so we hacked together this little dog collar. We broke it apart, this dog collar that could vibrate, beep, and zap with a remote control. And we hooked up the remote control to a computer with Arduino. And so it was basically every time I went on Facebook, it would signal the zap. And I was about to post this video online. And right before I did, I thought to myself, wait, this is actually really interesting. There's a million wearables out there that are tracking what I do, but this one's actually changing what I do. Maybe there's something more deeper to this blog post. And that was kind of the idea for how Pavlov came.
Interesting. Okay. So when did Shark Tank enter the picture? When did you get on Shark Tank?
So the story from there, so that event happened the end of 2012. I found a company in Boston in August 2013. I moved to Boston into a hardware facility where a company offered me a little bit of money and some space to help build my product idea. It's called Bolt. And I worked there for about a year. So from 2013 August until about a year later in 2014. Launched our Indiegogo in 2014. So as soon as we were live on our Indiegogo campaign for Pavlok One, that raised about $280,000.
With Pavlok One just basically being the device that you wear on your wrist that will monitor whatever you want it to monitor and then apply that mild shock when you do something you don't want to do.
Yeah, so it was it's extremely difficult for me to articulate what Pavlok is, and but I think you articulate it in a way that is
sufficient. That's okay. I just did it for you.
Thank you. Yeah. Essentially, it's like a smart dog shock collar for humans. But yeah, so the idea was that it would punish you when you do bad habits and then reward you when you do good habits. So we went live on Indiegogo, raised a bit of money. We went super viral. So I was on Steve Harvey Show, Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert Report. And so Shark Tank called.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. You actually got around quite a bit.
Yeah. And it was all organic. I didn't call any people or anything like that. And so Shark Tank ended up calling me and asked me if I'd be interested in putting Pavlok on Shark Tank. And the first year, it was too fast. Like we did product development takes years and it wasn't ready. So we went through the process, but then decided to turn them down that year. And then the next year we went on Shark Tank 2016. So I'll get there in a moment. But the Indiegogo was live end of 2014. And during that campaign, I stumbled on a type of science called aversion therapy. And so have you ever gotten like drunk or sick off of some kind of food and you just never wanted that food again?
You know what? For me, no, but my brother, that happened with Texas black bean chili, my mom's famous Texas black bean chili that he vomited all over our suburban and had to sit in his own vomit on like a 2-hour car ride. And for the next 10 years, whenever mom made Texas black bean chili, he would have like macaroni and cheese or bread.
Yeah. And you'll see this happen a lot with people who drink a lot of like tequila during college and then they get sick one night.
Oh, yeah.
They experience this thing called an aversion. It's this feeling in the pit of your stomach that's visible in the brain. And it's what happens when you get a Pavlovian association with any behavior plus a stimuli. And in one night, a habit can break for good. And in fact, it was a type of science that was pretty common in the 1980s and early 1990s in America, clinically tested, called aversion therapy, where they would use either nausea or electric shock while doing a bad habit to create a long-lasting Pavlovian aversion. And I stumbled on this word, started Googling about the science, and I found that like in one study with smokers, the average success rate with nicotine patches was 7.5%. And the average success rate with aversion therapy with smokers was 70%.
Wow. How are they doing the aversion therapy in the smokers?
So what they would do is the smoker would come to meet with a psychologist. The psychologist would have them imagine the blackness of smoke in your lungs and zap. Now bring the cigarette to your mouth, zap. Now light it with a lighter, zap. Now start to smoke the first puff, zap. Now smoke the second one, zap. And so at each step of the process, they would receive a series of zaps.
Wow.
And they'd want to put it down because nobody wants to get zapped, but they overdo it such that the brain creates the association.
Right.
And we started to experiment on this. We reproduced this in a study with the University of Massachusetts at Boston. We took a small pilot study of people who were pack-a-day smokers, and 75% of them quit smoking at a 6-month follow-up. So that was really cool to see that we were able to actually make this work at numbers that were astronomical.
Wow.
75%.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that was the first like, okay, well, let's start focusing on bad habits. This is late 2014, early 2015. Like I was very deep in habit science. So I realized that the secret to breaking bad habits was pretty simple. Zap someone when they do something that they shouldn't do. But to form a good habit, you need a positive reinforcer. You need a point system, a good thing.
Right.
And to me, it was pretty obvious back in early 2014, I realized this, that the secret answer would be blockchain. It would be creating or mining a new currency where users would earn money for doing healthy habits. But as I tried to describe this to a lot of people, they thought I was insane. They thought I was crazy.
Wait, they would earn money or they would earn cryptocurrency?
They would earn money, which is cryptocurrency, which is money.
Okay, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, so they'd own some form of value, something that could be used as like a trading medium.
Yeah, but back then it wasn't very clear what it was. Right now, if I told you got a Bitcoin for going to the gym, you know what I'm talking about. But back then, when I said you could earn,
I'll take $12,000 for going to the gym.
Right, Exactly. But back then I sounded nuts, especially when I started talking to investors or people. They thought I was crazy. And so I realized that I would have to table this conversation around the blockchain while I focused on bad habits, built the infrastructure properly, and started my own blockchain, which I thought was going to take years. I thought it would take till 2019. It turned out to speed up a lot this year. So anyway, getting back to the point, Shark Tank happened and so we released the product in 2015. We released it the same month that Shark Tank filmed. So we won a competition with Shopify. Shopify's Build a Business 2015 Challenge. We ended up getting to go to Necker Island and spend a week with Richard Branson, Damon John, who happened to be on Shark Tank, who was a Shark Tank guy, Seth Godin, Tim Ferriss,
wow,
and Marie Forleo.
Cool.
And that was really cool. And there I met Damon John, who actually became a very avid user of Pavlok. He's broken two addictions with Pavlok. But because I had met him, they wouldn't let me be on the episode or show with him. So I had to film with other users, other people on the show.
Yes.
Yeah, really, really, really messed it up. So anyway, I filmed about two or three weeks.
You were his boy. So all of a sudden there was a what they call it, conflict of interest.
Yeah, if I just hadn't mentioned it to Shark Tank, I think I would have had a very different Shark Tank life. But so a week later or 2 weeks later, we filmed the show in L.A. The show went very weird. If you watch it online, you'll see it's the most viewed clip of all time, but not always for positive reasons. It's very interesting. I think it was two alpha dogs in the room. Mark Cuban doesn't like other alpha dogs in the room, but I always describe it as Mark Cuban is Mufasa, Mr. Wonderful is Scar, and the other three are hyenas, and they follow whoever's in the lead. So Mark Cuban instantly didn't like the product. Then the other three didn't like the product. Mr. Wonderful was sitting there with his Mr. Burns fingers. He offered me $500,000 in exchange for a portion of my company. And I turned him down because he's not the kind of investor I would want to work with. He's pretty well known for how he defrauded his investors out of money when he sold his company to Mattel. And specifically, he was on a video of saying that 3.5 billion people living on a dollar a day is a good thing because it makes people try harder. So that video kind
of... Did you tell him this when you did Shark Tank? Were you just like, I don't like you, bro?
I did tell him I don't like you, bro. And I think I described it. They definitely didn't air... I think I described why. They definitely didn't air the reasons. But they did air me turning him down and then him yelling at me, F you, you a-hole, F you.
No way. He said that to you on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Was that just for TV, or do you think he was actually like legitimately upset?
He was tearing up, man. I think I hurt his feelings.
Wow.
Yeah, no, legit. Jeez. Yeah, legit. He was pissed. And I thought that was vindicating. I was like, if you ask for money and then turn someone down and the first thing they do is they curse at you, like that's clearly a vindication of the reason of why you turned them down. But if you add enough lights and zooming logos and Shark Tank music, you can really make me look like the bad guy. And so I came across as the bad guy. It was very unfortunate. But for the next year, actually, I was getting phone calls. I was getting death threats, man. I was getting emails. Yeah. I was getting like legit people calling my phone and threatening to kill my mother and naming her by name. It was pretty fucking dark.
Wow. Yeah. It's funny how TV can do that, though. I mean, I've done some of these TV shows where, you know, they sit you down for like a good week before they even start filming and they get all their B-roll of you saying certain things. Like they cue you to literally say phrases like, you know, for me, you know, it was like, I'm the brains behind this operation, or they don't stand a chance. Or, you know, a lot of these TV shows I do, they're competitions. But then they'll string all those together to literally... Like they'll take something you said and copy and paste that into a completely different scenario. You know, like there'll be like some, let's say like a, you know, like an extreme example would be there's like, you know, a handicapped person or somebody that I would personally never ever discriminate against. But then they'll show a photo of me like smirking or something after that person talks when the smirk was actually filmed in a completely different scenario. Like they're very, very good at making you whoever they want to make you.
It's infuriating. And if you watch my episode, you'll see my facial expressions and people think I am those facial expressions. And I'm like,
yeah,
come on, You're doing Zoom in. They choose what they want you to sound like, and then they make it sound like that. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. So that happened and it aired in April 2016. It was very destructive for our business for a while. We got 39 fake one-star Amazon reviews instantly. Dropped our score from 4.8 stars to 2.9 on Amazon. We've never been able to get past that. And it really made me take a step back, because I realized that we were going to be getting hate for a while, and that I needed to build our product to be perfect. We launched a product called the Shock Clock at that time. It was an alarm clock that makes sure that you wake up on time, including motion tracking. So if you don't get out of bed, you get zapped, and the way to turn it off is to do jumping jacks. And
I love it.
Yeah. So that was out for the last, from 2016 until 2017. This year, 2017, has been a pure focus on building Pavlok 2, which is not just for bad habit cessation or waking up, but also for good habit formation. And with the speed of the blockchain revolution this year, it really brought what I've been working on like much faster. It drove us much faster to where we are today, which was the creation of our digital currency, Volts, where people earn points. They earn Volts for doing healthy habits. And it becomes the kind of glue in our entire ecosystem. So that's where we are right now. We just launched Pavlok 2. Pavlok 2 is a hardware plus software plus behavioral currency solution, that the aim of it is to help every single person who commits to a goal achieve a 0% failure.
Last night, I got my shipment in. That's right. Paleo Valley sent me their fermented meat sticks, which are amazing. They're these beef sticks. I gave a few to some of my friends already, which they love. I actually interviewed Stephen Gundry on my podcast, and he talked about how when you look at a lot of these blue zones, the ones that are the highest ranking in terms of longevity eat meat, but the meat that they eat is actually fermented. And that's exactly what they've done with Paleo Valley. They've actually taken really good grass-fed, grass-finished beef. They've fermented, which naturally introduces gut-friendly probiotics, but more importantly, breaks down a lot of the sugars that would normally cause meat to be harmful, concentrates the vitamins, makes it more digestible, and they have fantastic flavors. They got the original. They've got one that's like a summer sausage. They have a garlic sausage. They have a teriyaki. It's probably my favorite. And you can now get your hands on fermented beef sticks that basically blow that Slim Jim beef jerky out of the water. So check out paleovalley.com/Ben. That's paleovalley.com/Ben to try out these beef sticks and get 15% off your order. Not just beef sticks, fermented beef sticks.
Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses, and keeping your mitochondria strong, it's one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a Rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's five-minute workout just three times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com.
Okay, so I want to know a little bit more about kind of the practicality of how you'd use this. So first of all, like for a bad habit, can you give me an example? I guess what I'd like to hear about is something that you've actually seen, you know, Pavlok people successfully utilize this device for breaking a bad habit. How does it work? Like from start to finish, I get this thing, it arrives at my house, it's in a little box or whatever. Like, how do I then break a bad habit?
Sure. So let's start with something simple. Let's say, do you want to do smoking? Or sugar?
I don't smoke. Pick something more sexy than smoking. Everybody knows smoking is bad.
Let's say
sugar. Yeah.
Sure. So sugar. So I'll give you a good example of how we have a lot of users who got over or lost, you know, between 20 and 150 pounds using Pavlok. And the way they did it is typically by cutting out either a specific food item or snacking in between meals or eating food late night. And so the way that we help people with these eating issues is very, very similar. So what happens is they purchase the Pavlok and it arrives. They download the app and they pair the app to the phone. And as soon as they log on, there is a course. And the course describes how the process works. It's a five-day course. And the way it works is the first day we kind of just teach you to track your urges.
And you're looking at this course on the app while you're wearing this thing on your wrist and it's talking to the app on the phone.
Exactly. Yeah, it's talking to you by audio and it's talking to the device by Bluetooth. And the app starts off by saying, today's day one. Welcome to the situation. Like, welcome to Pavlok. Today, I just want you to start noticing when you're feeling these cravings. So simply press the button, which will give you a slight vibration for the first day. And we'll see it tracks the time of the day and where you are while you're doing the behavior. So the first day, you're simply tracking whenever you feel like eating sugar or whenever you eat sugar. Then the next 2 days, we have a meditation audio, which I found helps people very much get in the mindset of noticing their thinking and continue to track it. And then on day four and day five, we start them down their aversion therapy process. So let's take snacking between meals. What you're going to do is actually buy some food and you're going to snack between meals. In fact, buy all the best foods that you eat. You're going to get to and actually have to snack for the next at least two recommended 5 days. And what you do is you start to, like, let's say you're snacking between breakfast and lunch. What you'll do is after you finish your breakfast and then you start that craving of wanting to snack, you're actually going to get up and you'll listen to the audio, and the audio will say, begin doing the habit, go to your refrigerator. And you go to your refrigerator and it gives you a zap. And it says, open the refrigerator, zap. Now grab some food. Now make the food, like, you know, sit down, zap. And then it says, now take one bite, zap. Now continue to eat for the next few minutes. And you're going to have to stick through with the eating, even when painful. Does that make sense?
Wow. So basically, you're making the decisions that you already might know deep down inside would be a poor decision, and you're actually is it automatically zapping you, or are you having to zap yourself when you make that decision?
The Pavlok 1 was manually zapping. With Pavlok 2, it can auto zap.
And how does it know? Like, how does it know that I'm reaching for whatever, like sugar in the refrigerator?
In this example, it's timer driven. So there's straight up an audio file that's like, go and grab the food. Timer, zap. Now, bring it to your mouth, zap. But with Pavlok 2's actual motion tracking, it tell when you bring the food to your face.
Oh, it's wow. Interesting. And have you shown that this actually works? Yeah. Because to me, it seems like when I'm opening up the refrigerator, I'm grabbing something from the refrigerator, it almost seems contrived, right? Like, versus me just, I guess knowing that I'm consciously zapping myself, it seems contrived, but it actually works, huh?
It seems contrived. That people think, well, why don't I just take it off? And I'm saying, like, well, why don't you just stop biting your nails?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why wouldn't I just take off the thing and quit zapping me? I'm good to go. I can just, you know, stuff my face with all the coconut ice cream.
Why don't you just stop stuffing your face, right? It's because,
yeah.
I'm sure you know this as much as anybody, that there is no you in your brain. There's at least a few billion neurons all fighting for consciousness. But specifically, if you think of the reptile brain and the prefrontal cortex, your thoughts are in the prefrontal cortex. Your habits are in the basal ganglia, the reptile part of your brain. And your habits have much more control over your behavior than your thoughts do. And what we found is that just like a dog collar gives the owner control over the dog, the padlock gives the prefrontal cortex power over your basal ganglia. The padlock acts as a way to control your own behavior. It makes yourself the personal trainer of yourself. That's all.
Okay. What about for good habits?
Sure. So let me just, because I didn't finish exactly describing how the habit gets broken.
Okay.
Basically, at the end of this, you do this a few days, you're going to start to notice that you don't want, like most people think they've quit on day two, but they don't want to do the behavior anymore. And then what we do is we recommend that they do it two more days to make the habit killed dead in the brain. Kind of like your brother who had to sit in his vomit for so long that he never wanted to or didn't want it for years. In the same way, you want to make sure that goes away and goes away extra. And then if it ever comes back, we recommend you just press the button a few times to make sure it doesn't come back again. There's a pretty measurable extinction curve, which is pretty cool to work with because we get to see it in our users. And the nice thing, the best part about this is that it's all measurable and we know it works. We have 60,000 users of the product. We still have around a 70 to 75% cessation rate for most serious bad habits like smoking and nail biting. And my favorite one is negative thoughts. We've really found that pressing the button whenever you have a negative thought or anxiety feeling or did you see my video with the paranoid schizophrenic Kendrick who used Pavlov to get over his schizophrenia?
No, what happened?
Basically, I met a homeless guy outside who was asking for money. I had found out that he had paranoid schizophrenia for about 10, 20 years, and I had read an article about aversion therapy for paranoid schizophrenia, Pavlov, and he was able to get over his symptoms instantly because whenever he had the negative thought that started to, like the voices in his head started to play, he pressed the button and the voice just went away. He was able to snap himself out of the activity, out
Holy
of the thought.
Cow.
Yeah. And so this guy actually he's now my roommate. He's homeless. So I brought him in and he lives with me now, and he didn't have an ID or a bank account. He lived on the street. I'm like, of course you have negative voices in your head. Like if I lived on the street and didn't know where I would go every night, like I don't even know what would happen to me. But
yeah.
Working with him and living with him has been like mind blowing because I found that a lot of what we call mental illness is just a lack of control over your thought patterns, and that possibly Pavlov is just a at its core, good habits or bad habits. What it really is just influencing thought. And that's kind of powerful for people trying to change.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I can answer your, I'll stop there, but I can answer about your forming habits if you'd like.
Yeah. So good habits. Let's say I wanted to, let's say I didn't want to eat sugar. Let's say I want to do it three times a week. I want to squat and I hate barbell squats. How would I use the Pavlov to cause me to get into the habit of doing squats?
Sure. So when you think about reinforcement, you think about operant conditioning. Operant conditioning has positive and negative reinforcement. Negative reinforcement is more effective at getting you started to do a habit, and positive reinforcement is more effective at making the habit stick. Specifically, a habit is how I define it is when it's harder to not do something than to do something. This is kind of important because you think about brushing your teeth, right? Like if you forget to brush your teeth one day, or like you don't have a toothbrush with you while you're traveling one day, you'll feel this weird feeling or sensation in your mouth, and you really want to get rid of that sensation. And that doesn't make any sense because toothbrushes have only been around for like 75 years.
Oh, really? That's it, huh?
The last like 100,000 years of humans, they didn't have toothbrushes.
So. But I do know that they used sticks. I have one, actually. It's a tooth cleaning stick. I got it off an apple tree. It actually works pretty well. Not kidding.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does it feel good?
It does feel good. It's kind of cool. Addicting. I've got it right here on my desk. You just kind of like stick it in your mouth and wiggle it around. It's like a toothpick, but it feels a little bit more natural because I got it off an apple tree, damn it.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, so you have that habit of the apple tree stick now.
Right.
What I found in my old research on habit formation is that the way to form a habit is very simple. Do an action consistently for a specific amount of days. If you do 50 sit-ups every day after breakfast, eventually you become the kind of person who feels uncomfortable not doing 50 sit-ups after breakfast. So to form a habit, do any action consistently. To get somebody to do the behavior at least once, and then you want to keep them doing it, add negative and positive reinforcement. So bringing that into Pavlok, here's how it works. When you buy the app, when you buy the product and it's delivered to you, or you download the app, I guess you don't even have to buy the hardware, you just download the app. What happens is we start you off with a point system, these bolts. You have the ability to earn more by doing healthy habits. So you earn actual points, which we believe next year will be a crypto that's exchangeable for cash, by doing good behaviors. So that becomes the incentive structure. And then we allow you to add negative reinforcers and negative consequences as well. So you can add, of course, vibration, beep, and zap if you don't do the behavior on time. But also you can commit by putting down money that you lose if you fail and you win back if you succeed. And if you succeed, you win from the other people who are in the community who failed. So it's like a betting pool on your own behavior.
Interesting.
And so that allows us, right? So it allows us to add the negative reinforcer plus the positive reinforcer in one fell swoop. Think about it this way. You have digital courses, right, Ben?
Yeah. You mean like courses where I teach a series of classes online?
Exactly.
Yeah, I've done stuff with Creative Live and Udemy. Okay. It's super niche. I did a course with a guy named Ari Mizell, and we did like a 12-part course on fathers who have twins and how to raise healthy twins and stay fit. And it's a pretty niche audience, but yeah, I've got courses out there.
That's very niche. Also, I know your Pavlok 2 is going to arrive today. If you open up the book, the how-to guide, you'll see Ari's story on how he quit sugar using Pavlok.
Oh, nice.
His picture is right in that how-to guide.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, so yeah, it's a pretty small world actually. But what was I just saying?
You're talking about these vaults and how you're creating like a cryptocurrency within the app.
Oh, yeah, about that. And specifically about courses, right?
Right.
So we noticed very early that like when users went through our course, that they would succeed at breaking their habit. It's very easy to get people to want to do a course or even pay for a course. It's very hard to get them to actually do the course. Motivation doesn't tend to persist after the purchase is made. And so we started doing a small experiment where it was like, instead of just unlocking the course, would you like to commit, put down some cash at the moment of purchase? And if you do the course, you will earn back your bet plus the amount from the people who didn't do the course. And we found that by adding a slight disincentive plus a community plus an incentive if you do well, good job, created massive success rates. With like in our current gratitude app, I think we have like 70%+ of people wrote the three things they're grateful for every single day this month, which is like unheard of results for people who are trying to form good habits. And so that's kind of, to summarize, to close out this long branch of thinking right now, the way that we help people form habits is by allowing and creating like the proper, like psychological protocol for that habit and for that user, utilizing, negative reinforcement plus positive reinforcement plus rewards plus commitment plus accountability, all that stuff. But essentially we just created the right environments that allows us to measure and help people change their behavior. And it will learn over time such that this becomes what I want is a 100%. I want it to be the product that makes every single user who ever commits to an action achieve it with no chance of failure.
So could I lose volts if I keep up a bad behavior? Like, would it be able to like take currency away from me?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I get volts added to my account that I could use on apps and products and to buy goods and services and to unlock things within the Pavlok app. And those would be generated by me engaging in healthy behaviors that I enjoy, and or maybe I don't enjoy them, but I'm trying to learn to enjoy them. And then when I do a bad behavior or I mess up, then I could get volts taken away from me. Negative reinforcement.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Wow. I know my audience is going to want to know about this. So tell me, because they're all health nerds, all trying to live until they're 150 years old. Tell me about like the potential for electrical exposure, like EMFs, stuff like that. Like, I mean, am I just like constantly going to bombard my body with Wi-Fi or Bluetooth using this thing? Is it only talking to the app when I have it turned on? Like, how does all that work?
Sure. Actually, we brought you up pretty recently in one of our firmware calls when I met you, I was pretty blown away at how much you really didn't like signals of Wi-Fi and Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I wear my tinfoil hat, baby.
Yeah, and you do look a lot younger than I do, so you're not wrong. But your question was about the health effects. So the nice thing about the electric shock is that it's localized to a 2-inch space on bottom of your wrist, and it doesn't pass through your entire body, and most importantly, it just passes in the skin, across the skin. So we have seen, like, if you get zapped a bunch, like a little red dot will sometimes occur under the place where the zap occurs, but it goes away in a few minutes. It doesn't itch or there's no rash. And there is no long-term side effects. Obviously, we're not a medical device, and I'm not committing any kind of medical thing and, you know, ask your doctor or whatever. But the product uses a very, very light electrical sensation that's programmable to the level that you like. And it just goes across the skin, not inside of the skin. So it's extremely safe.
Okay.
And it has it doesn't have those side effects like taking drugs or medicine, because it doesn't go, it's not ingested.
Right.
Yeah. So the new Pavlok 2 has the ability to have airplane mode. So it won't deploy any sort of signal if you turn it off, if you choose to. Of course, the product is designed to remind you when you do stuff. So gestures can be programmed and stored directly on the device, as well as timers. That means that you could set up like to vibrate or beep whenever you bite your nails and not have any Bluetooth signal. But for other behaviors like location or if you want to send messages, send signals, or wasting time on Facebook or anything like that, that requires a Bluetooth connection to be in the moment. So that's how that goes. You
right.
can choose.
Right.
But yeah, you're able to set it to be on your phone.
Okay, got it. Cool. Interesting. So this thing, this Pavlok 2, is it something that people can get right now?
Yeah, definitely. There should be a link on your show notes. I'll make a link at pavlok.com/Ben Greenfield
okay.
to redirect to you. And then I'm sure you'll have notes as well.
Okay.
So it's pavlok.com/Ben Greenfield for anybody listening.
Okay. Are you going to put a, I'm just going to put you on the spot right now. Are you going to like give people a discount or anything on that page to,
I will to absolutely
take care of my folks, take care of my peeps.
Shh. I'm going to give people a big discount. It'll be at least 20%.
Sick.
I'm just trying to make sure that I've committed what I'm committing to, but it'll be a very big discount.
Okay. All right. Cool. And then also, once that happens, you better turn that dingy thing on your wristband, because it's gonna dingy a lot. Maybe not as much as Shark Tank, but you know, talking to me on a podcast isn't quite as epic as making Mr. Wonderful cry.
I don't know, man. You're motherfucking Ben Greenfield, man.
Oh, no. I'm getting a big head. Cool. So my Pavlok 2 will arrive today then. And I'm looking forward to trying it out. For those of you who follow me on Snapchat or Instagram, there's always links on my website at bengreenfieldfitness.com and all that jazz. I'll probably be doing a few experiments in my house. I just got to figure out what habit I want to give up. You know, there are certainly vices in my life that I would say are beneficial, but that I've always been curious how hard it would be to give up. Like, I have a glass of wine every night. Sometimes it's not a glass of wine. Sometimes it's a Moscow Mule, or sometimes I put a little bit of vodka into my wife's kombucha, and it's good for me. But at the same time, I've thought, gosh, am I like addicted to having a drink every night? Or same thing with like, you know, vaping, you know, CBD or THC or, you know, or like, you know, a plant-based medicine, you know, is that something that a Pavlok could help me to to break. Not that I honestly, both of those things I think are healthy for me, but I'm always curious, you know, what other habit I could break. I'll identify some kind of advice. I don't know, Manish, you got any vices? We're friends on Facebook. Are there any vices that you know of that I have that I could break?
Dude, you know, you're like a freaking perfect paragon of man. Like,
definitely
there's no chance
not true. Definitely.
But I will say this. I think that's for someone like you, the best use case of the Pavlok Zap is most likely for memory. So if you learn someone's name and don't want to forget their name, a slight zap while you learn their name makes it like permanent. It's kind of crazy, actually.
Wow. So I just reach down as I'm introducing them, touch that little lightning bolt on there, and it'll go zap.
Yeah, it's like, you know how it's a function of memory. You know how like the way that you learn, if I say a word and I show you a word, you're going to learn it much faster than if I just say it or just show it.
Right.
So the way that you learn is through multiple sensory stimuli. And so the zap adds a new sensory input. So I found I think at the summit that we met at Consumer Health Summit, there was a special dinner. There was like 22 people there, and I zapped as they introduced themselves, and then I got all of their names right in a circle.
No way.
That was pretty cool.
Okay. I'm going to have to try that kind
I'm
of
not
stuff.
I'm not guaranteeing that for you, but yeah, it gives you a tool for memory, which I think is powerful.
Okay. So I have a little challenge I'm going to issue to those of you listening in. If you have a specific thing that you want me to try with the Pavlok, whether it would be to reinforce a good habit or punish a bad habit, leave a comment in the show notes over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Manish. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/MANEESH. Same place where you can get the fat discount code Manish has given everybody on this thing. And I'll pick the top comment that comes through that looks like a pretty compelling thing for me to demonstrate on Instagram or Facebook. So I'll do a little video for you guys if you want to see how this thing works, and I'll figure out some kind of bad habit to break or some kind of good habit to reinforce. So there you go. Leave a comment over on the show notes. Or if you have questions about this thing for Manish or me, you can leave a comment over there as well. Manish, this is fascinating stuff, man. You live an interesting life. And I also would encourage people to go visit hackthesystem.com. And it's been a while since I've looked into what your brother's up to, but I'll encourage people as well to go check out iwillteachyoutobe.com, unless that just irks you, Manish, when people bring up your brother, because apparently he's far more famous
just
than you are.
Really bad reviews.
Yeah, he's far more famous than you, bro. But who knows? You might eventually.
It's okay, to be clear, Ben, your brother I like more than you, so I understand. It's the same kind of situation.
Yeah,
I love Zach.
All right, I'm giving you the digital middle finger right now. All right. Well, cool. So folks, it's bengreenfieldfitness.com/Manish. You can also go to pavlok.com/Ben Greenfield. And Manish and I, between the time that I'm recording this and the time the podcast comes out, we'll get a nice little discount up there for you. And like I mentioned, leave a comment if you want me to try out this Pavlok 2 I'm receiving later today on any fun and interesting project. And in the meantime, I'm Ben Greenfield, along with Manish Sethi. I have a mnemonic now, Manish. It's Sethi, like Satan.
I'll take it.
Yeah, that's right. I know. It's exactly what you want to be associated with. We're signing out from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. Have an amazing week.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.